You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, January 22nd. Brother Mark Butler preaches a message entitled, That I May Know Him.
Apostle Paul, he realized here that all the things that this old world had to offer were vain. All the things of the world that he had gotten is vain because those things don't matter. What really matters, when it's all said and done, what really matters is what we do for Jesus Christ. We live in a world today that's so wicked and so vile and is so wrong. And as a Christian, it's so hard to live in this old world we live in. As a Christian, if you desire to serve God, if you want to live a godly life, if you want to live right, it's so hard for you to go out in the world and be amongst the world because it's discouraging. You get around the world and all the things of the world at work and in our community, and then you hear about the laws they're passing and you see things going on with our government, and it gets discouraging. But as a Christian, here we find that Paul, he says all these things. He says, I count them as loss. They're worthless. They don't mean anything to me. Here he says, I count them loss, what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Here he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Here he says, you know, before I came to Christ, things were good. They really were. I mean, I had wealth. I had prestige. I was known in the community. The high priest knew me by the first name basis. I mean, I had power. I could go and do what I want. I had wealth. I had food. I had respect. People respected me. They knew who I was. They knew all of my education. There was a reference for my name. There was fear. The Christians, they feared me. I mean, my life was pretty much perfect. The only thing I was missing was Jesus Christ. He was missing everything. Here he says that I had all those things, all the things that you think would make you happy, but he wasn't happy. Paul, there at the stoning of Stephen, that godly deacon there, Paul held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. And there, as Paul watched, I know that there was something going on in his heart. There was conviction going on. There was some that pricking from the Holy Spirit saying, you know, Saul, this is not right. Saul, look at this. I mean, look at this man. As you're stoning this man, as you're mocking this Christian, still he says, Lord, forgive them. And there Saul, as a young man, watched the stoning of Stephen. And later on the Damascus Road, Saul was struck by that bright light. And Jesus spoke to him. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul then realized that it was Jesus Christ. Saul decided to follow Christ, got saved, turned his life to Jesus Christ. God says, thou can be called Paul. Turn his name to Paul. He says, you're going to be a great preacher. Then Jesus says, I must show Paul what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He's going to suffer for my name's sake. Well, if that would have been us, it would have been, Lord, I got saved. And I thought, you know, we hear it on TV, you know, this Christian prosperity, this prosperity. When you get saved, everything goes good and everything's right. And you're always happy and everything is how you want it. No, it isn't that way. At least it isn't that way for those that want to serve God. To serve God, you're willing to give it all up. To serve God, you're willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, I'm willing to do. Lord, if you have to. I remember a story of my sister-in-law and her dad there in Michigan. Her dad, his dad was not saved. And this was her grandpa, and he wouldn't get saved. And Brother Wesolowski, he would ask his dad, Dad, you need to get saved. And he would refuse, and he would refuse, and he would refuse. This man of God, he was a preacher. Her dad, he went to the pastor of the church. He said, my dad won't get saved. He says, I want you to go pray with me that my daddy gets saved. And so here, Kendall Smith came forward to the altar and he got on his knees and the pastor beside him. And the pastor was praying with them. And Kendall Smith said, Lord, he said, my dad is not saved and he won't get saved. He won't listen. God, save him, God. And he said this on his knees, said, God, if you have to take my life for my dad to get saved, you do that. He walked away from that platform. Oh, I don't know. It was probably less than a year. He got very sick. Kendall Smith died within a year of saying that prayer. At the funeral of Kendall Smith, his daddy got saved. Are we willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes to draw me closer to you? The reason we get mad at God, the reason we get bitter at God is because we don't understand him. We think that if things go good in our life, he's blessing. If things go bad in our life, he's cursing us. And that is not true. For I know very godly people that suffer. I know very godly people that lose so much. But when you know God, as Paul says here, look what it says again. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. He says, I lost it all. I lost the prestige that I once had. Oh, I go before kings, but as a prisoner now. I've lost the fear. I've lost the wealth. I've lost that name now that my name is running the dirt. I've been stoned. I've been stoned and thrown out on the side of the city as a dead man. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I've been mocked. I've been spit upon. I've been ridiculed. I've been imprisoned. I've lost so much. I've hungered. I thirst. I've been cold. Is it why? For the cause of Christ. Why? For the name of Christ. I like what he says here. He said he suffered. He says, I've suffered all these things, the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Here he says, for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and all those things I count as dung. They're nothing. The money doesn't matter. The prestige, I can care less. Those friends I thought I had, it doesn't matter. I mean, the name that I once had, the great Saul of Tarsus, it doesn't matter. He said, what matters today is pleasing my Jesus. All matters today is pleasing God. All matters today is say, Lord, I love you. And God, I want to please you. Lord, if my life and my flesh has to be battered through trials and battered through temptations and cold and hunger. But Lord, if it's for you, it's not lost. All those other things, I count them as dung, Lord, because I want to serve you. Look what he says here, that I may know him. Why does he go through all that he goes? Look at verse 9. And he found in him not having mine own, and be found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. See, I used to try to live right like I thought was right. But that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness, which is of God my Father, that I may know him. If Paul was standing here today, Paul would say, Brother Butler's telling you exactly how it was. I did all that. I suffered it all. I gave it all up. I went through all the heartache, all the trouble, all the sickness, all that pain for only one thing, that I may know him. That I may know him. Because the God, the Father that I mocked, the God that I killed Christians that believed in, and I mocked his name and I profaned his name, he's my Father. And how I treated him before, I want to know him. I want to know him. And he says, I want to know him. Look what he says here. In verse number 9, and be found in him not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through faith, Christ, of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I've heard of his resurrection, but I want to know about that power, the power that resurrected Jesus. I want that power. The fellowship of his suffering, being made more comfortable unto his death. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you, God. Lord, I want to know your power. And Lord, I want to know your death. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to lay my life for Jesus Christ. He counted all things he had known before Christ came into his life as loss. Verse 8, he counted them lost so that he might understand Christ. He said, I don't understand him. I don't understand the Lord. I've heard about him. You know, Saul here, or Paul, what he is saying here is he says, you don't understand, for all those years I've martyred Christians. And I watched them, I watched their faith stand strong. And they would witness to me as I would see them be put to death. And they would pray for me. And all those years I lived under this just torment. I mean, this pricking of the Holy Spirit, this conviction. And I would try to brush it off and brush it off. But I want to know the God that they knew. I want to know the God that they worshiped. Here he says, I count all things but loss that I might understand Christ and that I may know him. Paul, of all people in the Word of God, wanted to experience a true understanding of God. He wanted an intimate relationship with God. He wanted to know God. Our desire this morning should be that we may know him. I know a preacher that was driving down the road. The Bible speaks of an evil day. This preacher was driving down the road. And this preacher, he pastors a large church. And at that time, he wasn't a pastor. He was a preacher. He was a teacher at a college. And this preacher was driving the road. He took his Bible. He threw it on the dashboard of his car. And he says, I don't believe it anymore. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in God. He was very discouraged. The Bible says that there's an evil day. And he was going to walk away from God, walk away out of the ministry, get out of everything. And something happened. God got a hold of his heart. And today he pastors a large church doing great work for God. But here we find Paul. He says, I want to know him. You know, maybe this morning you're sitting here. And we all have gone through this. If you haven't gone through it, you will go through it. Where you get so discouraged and so down. And it seems like the bottom of your pit is even deeper than the bottom. I mean, it's down there. And you want to give up on God. And you go to church and you try to smile in church. And you shake the hand and you sing the song. And you try to act like you're happy. But down in your soul, you're empty. Down in your soul, you're saddened. And you're saying, God, I need to know you, Lord. I'm discouraged. I'm down, Lord. I can't make it. I can't take another step. Maybe there's been hurt come your way. Maybe another Christian hurts you so bad that you blame God for it. And you say, if there was a God, God wouldn't allow that to happen in my life. And you're even at that point in your life where you feel as if there is no God. It's amazing how many Christians are really atheists. They don't pray to God. They don't talk to God. They don't read about God. They don't listen to God. They live their life without God. They go day to day without God in their life. They no concern of God. They don't care what God thinks. They're going to do what they want. They don't ask for God for direction because there is no God. I'm an atheist, they say in their hearts. They don't say that outwardly, but in their hearts, they don't need God. But they truly do need God. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe this morning nobody knows it. You've come in this morning and you're thinking, Lord, if you don't do something today, it's it. I'm walking out of it. Maybe that's you this morning that God has this message for. So Paul says, all these things that I've gone through in my life, I count them as dung, that I may know him. A true understanding of God. He wanted the intimate relationship. Our desire this morning should be that we may know him. The sad truth is that most of God's children don't put much effort in time into getting to know the Lord. We simply don't have the time or desire needed to know God. You know, as I'm preaching, God is listening. And Lord, you know, my heart, God, that Lord, I don't know you like I ought to know you. I don't know you the way that I ought to know you, God. I want to know you more. But God listens right now, and God looks down and he says, that's what, if I could physically stand before you, I would preach that and I would tell you, you need to know me. The reason you get discouraged is you don't know me. The reason you want to throw in the towel, you don't realize the things in your life are for good. It's for the right. It's the right reason. It's what I wanted for you. Let it work in your life. All things work together for good. We find here that to know God, we simply don't have the time or desire needed to know him. God has become a pastime. He's really become an idol that we come and we give a reverence to once a week on a Sunday and dress up for, but we leave him at church. I mean, he stays in this building because we don't take him home. Take your Bibles, if you will. Well, I'll just read it to you of time here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 5, it says here, and I'll read it. It says, having a form of godliness. How many Christians sit in this room today that have a form of godliness? I've been there. Form of godliness. We come to church, we look good. We come to church, we have the tie on, we have the suit, we have the Bible. We come to church, we talk the talk. We come to church, we look the Christian way. We have a form of godliness. But but we haven't talked to God. We don't walk with God. We don't know God. We don't know what he wants. We don't know what he cares. We don't know what he desires for our life. We get mad at people. We fight them back. We get mad at the preacher. We leave the church. We get mad at our husbands. We get mad at our wives. We do this. We do that. But we never ask God, what do you want? Lord, what's your desire for my life? Lord, what do you want me to do, God? Lord, lead me. And I believe this, that God would tell you, listen to your pastor. I gave you a pastor. He's going to speak to you what I want you to hear. You say, I just don't believe pastor would always speak to me what I need to hear. Then you ought to pray that he would, because God has him there for that reason. We have a great pastor, and I thank the Lord for my pastor. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Don't just live the Christian life. Don't just act like a Christian. Don't deny the power thereof. Don't make God real in your life. I mean, let God be so real in your life that people can see God in you. I mean, there's something different about you. I mean, God is real in your life, and they can see it and they know it. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out the way. They're doing their own thing. I mean, people don't have any desire anymore for God. As Christians, we ought to say, God, I need to know you. My desire is to know God the way that Enoch knew God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and was what? And was not, for God took him away. I imagine that, brother, stand up here. I imagine that God was looking down, and I'll go and I'll play Enoch, you play God. And as we're walking here, God and Enoch were talking. And they're talking and they're going through life, and Enoch is laughing with God, and he's having a relationship with God, and he's talking with God, and they're having a great time. And by the time you knew it, as they're walking along, God says, you know what, Enoch? He says, we're closer to my home than your home. Why don't you come with me tonight and spend the night? Amen. Thank you, brother. And Enoch went home with God. You know, why don't we have such a walk with God that God says, man, I love having you. I mean, every morning you get up to pray with me, I look forward to it. I mean, it's so enjoyable. I mean, I can't wait someday when you get to heaven, we can just talk all the time together and you can hear me audibly. I mean, this is wonderful. I'm saying this morning that we ought to have a desire to know God like Enoch knew God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God, to know God like Abraham when tested. And God said, Abraham, take thine son, thine only son. I don't know about you, but I couldn't do that. If God said, take your only son, your child, and sacrifice him, I would argue with God over it. I would fight God over it. Abraham took his son and laid him on an altar and picked up the knife to sacrifice his son. And God stopped him and God said, Abraham, now I know that thou lovest me. God, why are you asking me to sacrifice my son? God, why are you asking me to go through this trial? God, why are you asking me to go through this heartache? God says, when you get through it, then I can say, now I know that you love me. Because you didn't turn your back on me through the hard times. To know God like Abraham when tested over his love, was willing to obey, no questions asked. To know him like Moses, who followed God 40 years in the desert, really not knowing where they're going, but just following the cloud by day and the fire by night, following God. To know God is to trust him. To know God is to depend on him. To know God is to lean on him. To know God is to follow him. Wherever he leads, I'll go. To know God is to miss him. I miss him every day. I mean, when I'm at work, I can't wait to talk to him more. We ought to have that desire in our heart to say, God, I want to be with you, Lord. I miss you. I can't wait to get to heaven. To know God is to believe him. God is a mender to the brokenhearted. God is that light that leads through darkness. God is the water to a thirsty soul. God is a father who never leaves nor forsakes us. God is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. You ever have your best friend or your brother or a family member or a spouse forsake you? God says, I'll never forsake you. He says, you can go through the deepest valleys. You could even turn your back on me. I'll follow you everywhere you go. I'll never forsake you. He says, you'll forsake me, but I'll never forsake you. God is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Brother Butler, I'm discouraged. I don't have any friends. I'm down. I'm discouraged. I want to throw in the towel. Let me encourage you. You got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You have Jesus Christ. You have the Lord in your life. He says, hey, all you have to do is talk to me. I'm here. He says, you got to get to know me. Hey, Jesus would say this, to know me is to love me. We ought to know God. God is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. He satisfies. He fortifies. He loves. He cares. He shares. He shared his only begotten son for us. He lifts every broken heart. He guides every soul as we need to go through life. He walks beside every child of his. For God loves us. To know God is to draw close to him. Draw me closer to thee, Lord. Whatever it takes to draw close to you. Can we say that this morning? Can we say, God, whatever you have to do to save my daddy, even take my life to do it. Lord, do whatever you do. Could we do that? Can we say, God, my child is away from you. My child, Lord, is backslidden. My child is out of the will of God. Lord, whatever it takes to draw him closer to you, Lord, do it. I'm saying this morning, what is your prayer to God? Would you say to God, I know you so much in such an intimate way, Lord, that I could trust you and say, God, whatever you got to do, you do it to draw me close to you. Lord, my heart's not right. Lord, I've been getting bitter. I've been getting bitter at the pastor. I've been getting bitter at the teachers. I've been bitter at the youth pastor. I've been getting bitter at the principal, or the president of the college. I've been bitter at the Sunday school teacher. I'm bitter at my wife. I'm bitter at my husband. I'm bitter at my boss. God, the reason I got bitterness is I'm not walking with you. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Lord, help me to get close to you that I can know you and know you in a way, Lord, that I don't get bitter anymore. As people mock me and people make fun of me and people criticize me and people talk bad about me, people try to hurt me, I realize, Lord, that those people, like Stephen said, forgive them for they know not what they do. Lord, draw me close to thee. Draw me close to you, Lord. To know God is to draw close to him, that being the most important desire in our life. David Livingstone, a great missionary, knew him when he penned these words. David Livingstone said, send me anywhere. Send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever any tie, but the ties that bind me to your service and to your heart, don't undo those. Jim Elliot, a missionary that was martyred for the cause of Christ, wrote, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot gain to keep that which he cannot lose. I believe that most Christians walk away from God because they don't know him. The reason we get bitter at God and we walk away from God and we get out of God's work and we walk out of the service of God and we throw our Bible down and say, I'm not going to follow God anymore, and we turn our back on God, is because we don't know him. For to know God is to understand that nothing that comes in our life, whatever it might be, is on accident. That God says that everything that comes in your life, Brother Wislowski, is for good. He says all things work together for good, the positive and the negative. You have to have both work together for good. The bad and the good mixed together make good. God says all these things in your life. I don't understand it. I'm bitter at God. I'm angry at God. You can say all you want, but you're still wrong, because God's always right. What you ought to say is, God, I want to know you. For Lord, if I knew you, I would know, Lord, you would never hurt me. You would never do anything to hurt me. You would do it because you love me and you're trying to help me. I believe that we this morning need to grow closer to him, to know him. When's the last time you talked to him? When's the last time you felt him? When's the last time you heard from him? When's the last time you leaned on him while going through some hurt? When's the last time that you leaned on God and said, Lord, I can't go on. Lord, I need you. But you leaned on him. When was it that you shared your heart with him? God longs to be part of our lives. Look at 1 Kings chapter number 19, if you would, in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Verse number 11. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and here's Elijah. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what's the next one? A still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face. Now, did he wrap his face when he saw the fire? No. The earthquake? No. All of a sudden? No. All those things were scary, and that would be something to wrap you. But when he heard that still, small voice, that scared him. To realize that that was God. To realize that God was speaking to him. But God was telling Elijah, he said, Elijah, you need to be quiet. Elijah, you need to quiet down, for I whisper to you. I whisper to you, do you hear me? He said, but you're not going to hear me if you're hearing all these other voices. Listen to me. God's desires to be part of our lives. And many times we don't hear that still small voice because of all the other noises in our lives. All our problems that we're worried and we're stressed and burned. I mean, we let all these things pile up in our life and we're getting all these people involved in our life and it's over. And God says, I'm here. I'm that still small voice. All you have to do is listen and just say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Lord, how can I get through this? Lord, I need your strength. You know, sometimes as a wife, you talk to your husband, but he don't understand. You say, I'm going through this. And he says, oh, it's all right. You'll get through it, because most men think that way. You know, it's women like to think about it. Women like to sit around and spend a few days thinking about their problem. And they don't want you to fix it. They want you to sit down with them and think about it too. And that's how ladies are wired. Men are wired this way. Here's a problem. Fix a problem. Next problem. Let's go on. I don't want to deal with it. But you know what, ladies? Men might not understand you, but God sure does. Because God tells you, he said, stand still. He says, hey, you know what? God looks down and he says, you know what? I'm this still small voice. I'll talk with you. Hey, I want to hear you, and I want to share with you some things. Maybe that's you this morning. You need to listen to that still small voice. As this morning, as we go on, we realize that to know God is to understand that there's things that he has for us. I believe that most Christians walk away from God because they don't know him. I believe that most Christians, when going through great trials, become bitter because they don't know him. They allow bitterness to take control. I believe there are a few things that we must do in order to know God. You know, this morning, you're not going to make it unless you get to know him. You need to know God. May I this morning introduce to you the God of the universe, the God, your Father. To know God, look at James chapter number 4, if you would. James, in the New Testament, in the book of James. James chapter number 4. Here we hear from God himself in James chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Well, look at verse 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then he says in verse 8, he says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. But notice what it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Number one, to know God is to draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Here the Bible, when the Bible speaks of repent, repent means to turn away. If I'm going my way and I'm saying, well, yeah, I'm going through all these problems and all these struggles, but I'm just going to try to figure it out. I'm going to try to make it happen. God says, you know what? You need to repent of your way because your way is wrong. He says, God is looking down. God says, you know, only my way is right. And the reason you struggle and the reason you have all these problems is you're trying to make it happen. God says, you know what? Draw nigh to me. Turn around. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. We'll meet right there in the middle, and God says, I'll lead you on, amen. God says, I'll give you the life you need. I will help you, I will encourage you. Repent is to turn away. We must turn away from the world and face him. We must walk towards him. There's a lot of Christians today that are walking away from God, and they have their back to God. Oh, they know about God. You know, I've heard stories of Christians that are away from God, and they went to drink in bars, and they're at a bar, and there's one Christian guy that told me the story that when he was backslidden, he was in a bar, and this guy started talking to him, and this guy said that he needed to get right with God, and this guy told him, well, I know a good church, a good fundamental church you ought to go to. In the bar, he's telling that, and he's so far from God, his back's to God, he's just drifted away as a Christian. I tell you, folks, it feels good to come home, amen? It feels good to get back with God. It feels good to draw nigh to God. You say, well, I'm just mad at him, and I'm bitter at him. Well, get over it, because he ought to be mad at you, and he ought to be mad at me, but he is, and he loves us. Draw nigh to him. We must draw nigh to God. Number two, we see here, he says again in chapter number 4 and verse number 8, he says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. The reason you don't have God in your life is because you're not drawing to him. You want to live your way and have God part of it. God says, I cannot have part of your life because you're living in the world. You're living in sin. God says, I can't have part of that. He said, draw to me. Come my way and I'll meet you and we can make a good life out of this. But here he says, draw nigh. Then he says here, he says, cleanse your hands. Verse number 8 says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. I believe number 2, to get to know God, not only do we need to draw nigh to God, but we need to clean our hands. We need to clean up our life. I went to Dr. Lee Robinson. I might have said this before here, but I went to Dr. Lee Robinson. He was sitting down signing Bibles. I kneeled beside him. I said, Dr. Lee Robinson, as a young preacher, I said, would you lay your hands on me and ask and pray that God will fill me with his power? And he looked at me and he wouldn't put his hand on me. He says, the only reason, brother, that God hasn't given you his power is because those rooms that are not filled are filled with something else. That's why God can't fill those rooms. What you need to do is you need to go home, open the doors of all those rooms, empty out all the garbage, all the sin. And then he can start. He can't fill a full room that's already full. He only can fill an empty room. And I went home and I learned some things. What we need to do, you say, I want to learn to know God. I want a relationship with God. I need God's help because I'm going through some hard times. Well, the reason or the way you're going to know God is, number 1, draw to him. Get close to him. On purpose, choose to be close to him. Number 2, get right. Oh, you know what it is. What sin is in your life that you ought to get right with God? Nobody has to tell you because right now you thought about it. You know what sin it is. I know what sin is in my life too. We need to deal with it. We need to deal with our sin to God and say, God, forgive me. For Lord, I have sinned against thee. Lord, I've sinned against you. Like the prodigal son came to his daddy and said, Dad, I've sinned against thee. I've sinned against you, Dad. We need to come to God and say, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands. Clean your hands. We must deal with this issue of sin, for sin separates us from God. Number 3, look what it says here, chapter 4, again, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Number 3, we need a prepared heart. This heart right here needs to be prepared to meet God. You know, there's a lot, it goes back to bitterness again. God says, wait a minute. He says, I can't be part of your life when you're holding on to other things. You know, if I went to shake Brother Wisolowski's hand and I had 5 songbooks in each hand, I went to shake, I can't do it. I have to drop what I have in my hand to shake his hand. And the only way that you're going to be able to have that relationship with God like you ought to have is that you need to come to God and drop everything you have in your hands and say, God, I lift up holy hands. I give up the sin, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, whatever it might be, whatever sin, and you know what it is, and it might not even be a bad sin to you, but it's something that's keeping you away from God. There's some people that love golfing and they'll go, or boating or fishing or whatever, and they'll miss church or go do that. To me, that's a sin because it's become a sin. It's kept you from God. A prepared heart. Jeremiah chapter 4, quickly, if you want to turn there, but I can turn there and I can read it to you. Jeremiah chapter number 4, verse 3, it says here, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. What he's saying here, he says, break up all that hard ground, that heart that is hard. He said, break it up. And then we see also in Hosea chapter 10 in verse number 12, we find here, it says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hey, you can't serve God till you break up that foul ground. You got to stir up that dirt. Like a farmer in the spring plows up the hard ground in his fields, making the soil suitable for the planting of the seed. This is the way it is with our own hearts. Sometimes things happen to come in us and they get deep in our hearts and they go in our heart, but we need to dig those things out and stir up the dirt. If we really want God to give us something new, we must realize that it'll be only through a prepared heart that's seeking him. What things have we allowed in our hearts that one, what is that one thing that prevents us from drawing close to him? Well, I just can't forgive her. Then you will never get close to God. I just won't forgive pastor. You'll never get close to God. I just will never forgive my husband. I'll never forgive my wife. Then you might as well forget it. You'll never know God. Because God says, leave your gift at the altar and go make right with thy brother. Lastly, in closing, to draw close to God, we must have a yielded spirit. We must draw close to him. We must yield our will to God's will. You know, when you come to work at the church here, it's no longer your will. It's pastor's will. Because he's your boss. So you come to work, you say, okay, pastor, what do you want for me today? Tell me my job. Because you know what? This is better here than working out in the world. In the world, we had to listen to them anyway. So might as well listen to the pastor, and it's even better. You're at church all the time. Blessed. Amen. But you know what? That is what God says. Leave your will behind. Well, God, I'm going to serve you, but Lord, you got to understand, I only got 5 minutes. God, I'm going to serve you, and I'll go to church unless it's deer season, unless it's my prime time, a Super Bowl, whatever. Then, Lord, you got to understand. No, God says, I don't understand that. God says, it's not your way, it's my way. It's not your will, it's my will. God says, you know, there's so many Christians that play the game. He says, to know me is to say, Lord, I give you my yielded spirit. We must yield our will to God's will. How hungry are you to know God? Well, you know, but I love my things. Well, do you love them more than God? Do you hunger for God? What has God brought in your life that you should have drawn closer to him by? Those things that he brought in your life, but rather they drove you away. Paul said that I may know him. And I do hunger to know him this morning. Do you hunger to know God? Do you say in your heart, I don't understand? And nobody else seems to understand? Well, you know God does. And if you would draw close to God, God will help you understand all your problems. He will get you through your problems. He'll give you the strength to make it. And you know, at the end product, something beautiful will come out of it. But this morning, the only way we're going to do this morning, the only way we're going to do this is draw near to the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.